So for those of you who are here last week, you know that we are in the looking at the book of Jonah for the month of August. And if you weren't here, that's okay. We're just going to be going a chapter week, and I can recap a little bit for you now. The book of Jonah is this book that took place around 2,800 years ago. And there's this prophet named Jonah. He's been called by God to go to a certain place called Nineveh, which is in Assyria, modern-day Iraq. And it's sort of north and east. And instead of doing that, he goes the opposite direction, and he flees. He tries to jump on a boat, head to a place called Tarshish, which is really fun to say, seven times fast. And he heads there, hoping that he can escape the calling that God has placed on his life. And in the narrative of chapter 1 that we looked at last week, the Lord brings a storm, raises up a storm, and starts to rock the boat, literally. And so he's doing that, and it gets Jonah's attention. And Jonah, the solution that he comes up with is, chuck me off the boat. Throw me off. Basically, kill me, end my life. I don't want to be part of this. I'm not open to praying or going back to the port in Joppa. I just want to be chucked off the boat. So the sailors end up throwing him off the boat, and then the Lord provides a great fish to swallow him whole. And so we talked about how God in his reckless love chases after us last week, that he's giving Jonah more and more chances. And as an aside, this big fish, they called it a great fish in Scripture. Anything that was big and large in the water, in this ancient times, they just called a fish. They didn't use the word whale. So, Christian scholars on, you know, all sides around this fish that go, this fish was a literal fish. It was a giant mammal or of some kind that swallowed him, and he stayed alive for those 3 days miraculously, and then he was spat out. And there's Christian scholars that say, no, it was a metaphor, it was an allegory, for Jonah being churned in the ocean and him going down into the pit of the ocean and God rescuing him and dumping him on the shore. I think neither of them are too important. I personally believe that, yeah, God could easily have created a fish that this large that kept him alive. So that's where I land. I believe that. But it misses the main thrust of the story of Jonah if we spend all of our time looking at whether it was a big fish or not, or whether it was something else, right? If it was, I hope it was a giant megalodon shark, because those things are huge and they're cool. But we don't actually know what it was. So that aside, in the midst of the story of Jonah, he is running. So he's running away from God. He's heading to a place called Tarshish on a boat. The Lord sends a storm, wakes him up. He jumps into the water. And then the Lord provides another way to keep him alive, is this giant fish. This past couple weeks, I've had something that I was trying to also run away from a little bit. Many of you are well aware that in South Nanaimo, there's something called Tent City. It's in Harbor Park, next to Harbor Park Place Mall. And if you're unfamiliar with it, it's around 150, 200 people that are living in tents, mostly tents there, that are homeless, most of them, struggle with mental health, addiction. And it's a very complex situation. It brings up a lot of heated emotions as people talk about it around Nanaimo, and there's one similar in Victoria as well. And so there's so many different angles to look at what's going on there and what are possible solutions and things like that. But the thing that I was running away from is that a few weeks ago I was thinking and praying around Tent City and the people living there. And God impressed upon my mind, like, Christian, you should go and visit Tent City. Go visit the people there. And immediately, I had this feeling rise up in me of this, you know, ugly judgment and ugly emotions against the people living there and go, no, I'm not going to go there, and I can't solve the problems that are happening there. And no. And so I put it off for weeks. It kept coming up in my mind. Eventually, I decided to surrender to the idea, and I had one concept that I thought I would try. So this last week, I took two camping chairs, and I nervously, you know, I drove down to Tent City, and I plopped them out in Tent City, these two camp chairs, sat in one, and put up a sign in front of my chairs that said, listening chairs, and with the goal of just to sit there and be present to people who live there and listen to them. And so we're going to come back to what happened. I sat there for quite a while before anyone even talked to me, but I'll come back to what happened later as I sat there. I sat there for quite a while waiting. Jonah sat for a long time in the belly of the fish. We're told 3 days, right? And he begins to pen a prayer say a prayer as he's in there, and we're going to unpack his prayer while he's there. His first verse says, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble." We're going to pause there for just a moment. He cries out to the Lord in his great trouble. There is this thing that happens to Jonah. He's trying to take his own life. He's trying to end it by jumping off the boat. And now this great fish has swallowed him. So he's come to probably just the absolute end of himself. He's come to the end of his self-sufficiency. He's come to the end of his ability to run, obviously, because he cannot steer the fish where he wants it to go. And he, at this point, then cries out to the Lord in great trouble. It's often our most raw and present we are before God is when we are in that kind of pain or that kind of calamity where we go, okay, this is totally out of my control and there's nothing I can do here. When we come to that ends of our self-sufficiency, then we are most honest with God. And that's where Jonah is at this point. He's tried to run away from God, but he's starting to learn that you can't actually outrun God. He continues, he says, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and the Lord, you heard me. So he's starting to realize in a positive way that this fish was God's response to saving him. He tried to end it. He tried to take his own life in his despair. And at his lowest point, God's grace met him there. Just incredible. Just incredible. And it's in the midst of our great trouble that we need to call out to God. He hears our desperate prayers. I've met people who they save their times of praying or connecting with God for when they feel most desperate, right? They feel like they don't want to bother God during the rest of their time, and so they will only talk to him or commune with him when things are really bad and out of their control. They feel like, okay, well, now I'll bother him, right? Because God has to love me, but maybe he doesn't really like me, but now I have to bother him with this. Whereas I believe that's not true at all. God longs to commune with us. God longs to interact with us. God longs to connect with us. Jesus described his relationship with his followers as a symbiotic, as a vine, and that he is the vine and we are the branches. And that we are grafted into him, and there's this vibrant, organic, healthy thing happen when he desires to connect with us and to commune with us. It's in the pit of despair that Jonah once again begins to look to God. He says this, "You threw me into the ocean depths," which, you know, it's kind of maybe askew on perspective because I think Jonah volunteered to jump in and had the sailors jump us in. But even when we have skewed perspectives, God still loves us. He goes, oh, Jonah, that silly guy, you threw yourself in. He says, "I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me, and I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence. Yet I will look once more to your holy temple." There's a turn there. Even though things are awful, and he doesn't know where this fish is going or if this is just what's going to happen next, he still says, I'm going to look towards God in the midst of this. And then it says in verse 5 and 6, it says, "I sank beneath the waves and the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains, and I was imprisoned in the earth whose gates lock shut forever. But you, O Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death." I love that last line. You, God, you're the one who snatched me from the jaws. I tried to take my own life. I tried to give into my hopelessness and my despair. But God, you snatched me from the very jaws of death. No matter how far myself or you may run, maybe not physically run, but emotionally and spiritually run from God, he is always pursuing and chasing after and looking to rescue, looking to save us, sometimes even from ourselves and our own choices that we've made. He's looking to save us and to rescue us. It's taken me a while to learn this, and it's been through, you know, experience and study and prayer, but that God's grace and love is unconditional, and he's going to keep pursuing me no matter what. There's a pastor in Toronto I really like to read named Carrie Newhoff said it this way, and I think it's just so perfect, so I wanted to thief it up and steal it. But he said, God doesn't run away from runaways. God doesn't run away from runaways. Jonah ran, and God ran after him. Just continue to pursue him and chase him. And the results, right? He could have just moved on to the next prophet and said, okay, well, Jonah's in the bottom of the sea. I'll move on to the next prophet to send to Nineveh. But no, he continues to chase after Jonah and pursue him. And then Jonah begins to pray some more, and he says in verse 7, he says, "As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple." So he's calling out to God, he's turning back to him, and he says this very poignant line in verse 8 that really hammers home an important truth. He says this, "Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies." Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. You see, when Jonah was running away from God, heading towards Tarshish, he was running towards false gods. We don't know what they are, but he was running towards maybe freedom, escape of responsibility, or maybe it was just simply he was running from the fear of death, because if he went to Nineveh and preached against corruption there, they were a violent nation, they may kill him. So he's running maybe possibly from a very real fear of death, but he's running away, and God, he's turning his back on God's mercy and love. That doesn't mean God's mercy and love isn't chasing after Jonah still. It's just that he is losing out on the experience of God's mercy. God hasn't stopped chasing him. It's just that he's missing out on the experience of God's mercy and grace. And then when he comes to the end of himself, when he realizes in this prayer, as we've seen, that what he was chasing isn't going to satisfy, isn't going to provide meaning, isn't going to give him that escape that he wanted, he doesn't call out for what he was longing for. He calls out back to God. And the reason he does that with full confidence, and the reason why I can say it with full confidence that crying out to something else, our false gods, won't satisfy us, is because he doesn't call out for Tarshish. He doesn't go, "Oh, Tarshish, if only if I had made it to you, then I would be free from God." And the things that we chase after, that may be leading us in a wrong direction, we don't. When our bottom falls out of life, and we have a lot of calamity and pain going on, we don't cry out to that job or that amount of money or that certain situation we longed for. We cry out to the thing that only in our gut and our mind and our heart we know will satisfy and provide us meaning, and that is the love and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is absolutely unconditional. That is the thing that we cry out to in the midst of those moments. We don't cry out for other things that we suddenly realize are peripheral. Thankfully, though, God doesn't run away from runaways. He continues to pursue us and chase after us. And Jonah figured he had blown it, right? He figured he had just messed up, and he was going to throw himself off the boat. There was no repentance in sight for him. There was no hope for him. And in as he's hurling through the air into the water in the churning dark night, he's probably thinking, like, "I wish I had another chance." He thinks he's blown it. We've all felt that at times, that we've blown it. And God reaches out and he rescues Jonah. I want you to think of your moments where you've thought you've blown it, or you wish you'd done something differently, or something you're not proud of, that those are your moments and opportunities to experience the salvation of God. Those are the moments to experience rescue from the Lord Jesus through his love and his presence and his grace. And that he's someone that we never have to run away from, our Heavenly Father, who desires for us to be intimate with him. And Jonah comes to the end of his challenge here in the fish with a renewed hopeful perspective. He says this in verse 9 and 10. He says, "But I will offer sacrifices to you," talking to God, "with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows. For my salvation comes from the Lord alone." Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. And I'm hoping Jonah went back in the water and washed off saliva and then got back out again. But he comes out of the water a new man. He has a renewed perspective, and he is now saying, "I'm going to follow you, Lord, and I'm going to accept this calling on my life." In chapter 3, just verse 1 and 2 and 3, he says this, "Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time," just in case he forgot, it's a little reminder, "Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you." This time Jonah obeyed. Who wouldn't at this point, right? The Lord's command, and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. A massive, massive place. So Jonah ends up coming, and he heads off in the direction that he's supposed to go. And the glimpse we have of Jonah's story, and we're going to continue into chapter 3 next week, It resonates across the human spectrum for a really strong reason. It's because we all desire to have satisfaction and meaning in our lives, to be content, and we all dislike hardship. And when we see Jonah looking for meaning and satisfaction and then running away from hardship and then wrestling through and praying through the hardship with God and surrendering to Him, we see a glimpse of a meaningful way to live. And that's something that is common to the human spectrum. And that's why his story resonates so much with us. And we desire to be known and loved by God, to know that He is chasing after us and rescuing us. You remember earlier, I was beginning my story about Tent City. So I was sitting there on my chairs, and nobody was talking to me. A lot of people were gawking at me, and I'm like, man, started to fume at God. I'm like, why am I doing this? This feels so dumb. Like, why am I here? What do you want me to do? Okay, I'll just sit here and pray. And I'm sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. Half an hour goes by, and eventually someone sits down. And over the next few hours, people would sit, and it's very quickly say, why are you here? You know, what are you here? That's how I'm, it's my name, my name's Christian, I'm a pastor. I'm just here to listen to anybody who wants to talk, and if you, I just want you to know that God cares about you and loves you. And then I would just ask questions and get to know people. And it was a meaningful time in that I got to listen to people and share a glimpse of Jesus' love. It was also heartbreaking because you hear the stories and the cycles of addiction and mental health and abandonment and struggles for trying to live a better life, but not knowing how or not having resources. And so after a couple hours, I packed up my camp chairs and with a heavy heart, I left, right? And as I was leaving, there was signs all over the fence that surrounds Tent City. I was just reading some as I left, and someone had painted a sign that I thought was great. I didn't take a picture of it, but this is what it said. You'll see on the screen. It said, Jesus lives here. Jesus lives here. And as humans, we are made in the image of God. We're image bearers of Him. He has a divine imprint onto us as humans. And so wherever humans are, there is the image of the divine. No matter how sinful and corrupted it may be at times, it is the image of the divine. And so it's true that we're in Tent City. Jesus Christ lives here. And Jesus died for us on the cross to defeat the power of sin and our brokenness so that we may receive His love and forgiveness and His grace and live more freely, that we're not running away from Him but turning towards Him and running back to Him. Because God doesn't run away from runaways. So I'd encourage you this week, if you feel like you've been moving in a certain area of your life that is heading in the wrong direction, you're not trying to jump off a boat and head towards death, but you feel like you have an area of your life that's emotionally and spiritually heading towards death, just in that direction, I'd invite you to talk to God about that one area and say, Lord, I don't want to hide this from you. I don't want to feel like I'm running away from you in this area. I want to give it to you and surrender to you and to see your love and your grace transform me in the midst of it. So I invite you to do that this week. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for the story of Jonah, that you have the story from 2,000 years ago that has captured imaginations, movies, storybooks, Sunday school lessons about this amazing story of a prophet who doesn't want to be a prophet and is rescued by a giant fish. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you pursue us, you chase after us, that you long to see us embrace your love, to find our souls restful in you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you don't give up on us as you did. You didn't give up on Jonah. You give us chance after chance after chance after chance. Your love is always there, meeting us directly where we're at. Praise things in Jesus' name. Amen.